Does everyone bear with me just for a moment? This is what happens when you have everything set and you hit the wrong button. So we're okay. I'm okay if you're okay. We're getting going here now. Appreciate being able to play again the singing. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. But what a thought tonight. I want you to listen carefully tonight as we preach to you. And I want you to pay attention if you can. We'll have it there on the board. I want you to take notes if you can. And I want you to pay close attention as we look at this next section on loving more in 2024. Now, these are not just something to fill in time. These are important messages. And it's important for our church, important for everyone that hears it. So listen carefully. I want to pray with us, and then we'll get right into the message, okay? Pray with me. Father, I come tonight, and Lord, I understand my weaknesses, my unworthiness. Lord, I do understand that I can do nothing without you. I know that. And Lord, I know that I'm a wretch. I know that I failed. This morning's message has worn me out. And Father, I've got to do better. I've got to do what you say in loving my enemies. And Father, I pray tonight that when we look at this section now, this message, Lord, that we might be obedient unto you, that we might listen carefully, that we might trust you more. And please, Father, speak to our hearts, I pray. Change us tonight. Not just me, but everyone that listens, I pray, change us tonight. And I'm going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Please give me power to preach as you want me to preach. In Jesus' name, and amen. Now let's look and see what we have tonight. I hope you can see everything plain. We're talking about the love, and we know that you love or you serve what you love, and that you love what you serve. And that there is no love without service. Now, that will never change. You think about that. You serve what you love. Whether it be the world or whether it be the Lord, you're going to serve what you love. Now, and you're going to love what you serve. If you serve the world, you're going to get more and more and more in the world. If you serve the Lord, you're going to get more and more and more in the Lord. And you need to think about that. And then there is no love without service. You can't just say, I love anything. If it's just lip service, then there's no love there, period. If you love something or someone, you will prove it. And can I say, you'll prove it on a daily basis. It won't just be here and there. It'll be on a daily basis. Now, let's look on. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. It's selfless. We don't think about ourselves. Now, if we do that, it's hypocrisy. All right, understand that. If I say I love you and I'm more worried about what I get out of it, I don't love you. I love me. If I love the Lord and I only love him for what I'm going to get out of it, I don't love the Lord. I love me. Think about that. But love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. All right? And then love is that act. It's an act. It's not a put on, but it's an action. All right? It's not the act like a drama, but it's the act of an action of one person seeking the highest good for another person. I love Cheryl Ann. So I ought to do something to prove that or to show that, to demonstrate that. I love her, and I do those things that show that I love her, that she knows that it's not just in mouth, but it's in its actual action, okay? And it's for the highest good for another. Can I tell you, if I love the Lord, I want him to have a good testimony through me. I want people to say, hey, that Jesus that guy serves, that's the right way. Whoever's God he has, that's the right God. I ought to be promoting Christ if I love him. You think about that, promoting the Lord. Now, we look at God's love for a sinner. We looked at God's love for his children. We looked at our love for God, and then this morning we looked at loving our enemies, and that was probably the toughest one, maybe. Maybe, all right? Because now we're going to look at something else, and it's loving the brethren, all right? It's loving one another, loving the brethren. And can I tell you that that should be easy, but it's not. That should be easy, but it's not. And the reason being is we have made enemies out of our brethren. And we know it's hard to love the brethren, or it's hard to love our enemies. Now it's hard to love the brethren because we've made them enemies. And can I tell you, they should not be no enemies in the church house or in the body of Christ. They should not be any enemies. They shouldn't be. But even if they are, you got to love them. And then if they are not enemies, then they're just brethren, then you got to love them. So there should be nothing in the body of Christ but love. But yet there seems like there are schisms in the body all the time, or divisions. And there's a problem there. All right? So let's look on. What does it mean to love the brethren? What does it mean to love the brethren? Loving one another. It means that we are to be deliberate in cultivating. Now, that's a bigger word than I normally use. But when you look up the word love and start studying about love, it talks about cultivating or working it or planting it, letting it grow, fertilizing it, taking care of it, keeping the weeds out of it. It talks about like a garden. So I'm a gardener, so I can understand that. So it means that we're to be deliberate on purpose. Cultivate my love for Christ or for, that's one thing, but my love for one another. It says, it means that we are to be deliberate in cultivating and in showing true Christian love. Can you hear me there? True Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, now listen carefully to the next couple of slides here. I want you to don't miss this now. In other words, we're to live as if our fellow believers are family, and we're to love them like they are family because they are family. Okay? Other Christians, other believers are our family. Okay? Now, let's start now. I want you to listen carefully now. Be reasonable about all what we're saying. Alright? John chapter 3 tells us we must be born again. We know that. Chapter 3 verse 7 tells us, Marvel, you must be born again. So when we're saved, we're born again. Correct? Alright. Now, therefore, we are born into the family of God. Every believer is born again into the same family. Now listen to me. God becomes our Father. Every believer is born into the same family. God becomes our Father when we're born again. Now study about that just a moment. Every believer is born into one family, the same family. All right? Now, then, if God, if He, has only one begotten Son, which He does, and we are also God's children by adoption, then reasonably, Jesus Christ becomes our brother. All right? And I am no more kin to Him than you are. Now listen to me. We're equally saved. No one is saved more than the other. No one is higher up in the family than the other. No one has a different position in the family than the other one does. For we are the body of Christ. Christ is our brother. God is our Father. Now you listen to me now. But I'm no more kin to Him than I am you. If you're saved, I'm no more kin to Jesus Christ than I am you. Now you're going to say, well, you're stupid. If Christ is my brother and you're my brother, then we're kin the same. Father, are you following me? If God is my Father and He's your Father, we're kin the same. Now do you understand? Now, we are the family of God. Every believer is part of the family of God. Every believer is part of the family of God. Therefore, we have one Father, that's God. He has only one begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ. And all of us are children by adoption into the family of God by birth and by adoption, by the new birth and by adoption into the family of God. Do you understand that? I hope you understand that. Now, you say, why are you telling us that? Because if we're one family, then I should not love one in the family more than the other. Now, not only in this local church, but in the church down the road, and in the church across the country, and the church in Africa, the church in Burma, or the church in Italy, or the church in Moldova, or the church in the Ukraine, or the Jewish Christians all around. I shouldn't love anybody any different. Huh? That's what the Bible says, that we're talking about loving the brethren. We're not talking about loving who we like, we're talking about loving the brethren. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. All right, now let's go on. Now, let me make this clear. I don't want nobody to misunderstand me. You are no more saved than you are my brother or sister. You're not less a brother or sister than you are a Christian. You understand me? You're equal. As saved as you are, you're my brother or sister. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't be saved and be part of another family. Are you hearing me? Now, we make up a lot of families. All right, we got Deetses, we've got Beavers, we've got Frames, we've got Childers, we've got Fairchilds, we've got Seacrest, we've got Bowleys, we've got Nicholases, we've got Aldermans, we've got Rushes, we've got Lyonses, we've got Sanfords. I mean, I could go on and on. Now, that's all names, but one family. One family. All right? You can't be saved and be part of another family. All right? If we have believed the gospel, now listen carefully. We have to have this foundation laid. If we have believed the gospel, we are family. If we believe the gospel, we're family. All of us are saved by the same work of God. We're not saved by ourselves or through our works that one can be more saved than the other. We're saved all by the same work of God. We're one family and we're equally saved in one body, and God is our Father, and all of us be brothers and sisters in Christ equally. And it's not for us to decide who we're going to love or not love. But we are commanded by Christ to love the brethren. We're commanded. Alright? You still okay? Therefore, loving one another should not be a problem. But it is. It is. So, I know I said that twice. A little bit different, but it's important that you get it. Okay? Now, let's look on. 1 John, this is where we'll be preaching from tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And this is only the first part of a couple other messages on this subject on loving the brethren or loving one another. So let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right, now we know that. First John, Rick just taught that here a while back in Sunday school, and we went through it pretty good. But this is going to be a basis now, our verse for tonight, or two verses, and we're going to preach that first part of that verse especially, but we're going to preach these two verses word for word or section by section, just like we have been on Sunday morning, and we're going to look at this, okay? Now, this verse is our starting place. And again, this will not be. There's going to be more messages on loving one another, loving the brethren, loving one another. Everybody okay with me now? Everybody on the same page? You ready? Now let's go. All right? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right? Now, we see this love that I'm to have for you and you for me is God's love. To start with, it's the same kind. Now listen to me again. The same love I'm to have for you and you have for me is the same kind of love that God has for all of us. Alright? It's not a friendship love. Alright? But it's the highest love. It's God's love. It's the highest love. I'm not to love Christ with a high love, a devoted love. Now, y'all know I'm not Greek or Hebrew or all that. If you want to get technical, I can. All right. If you want me to tell you that it's agape love, I can tell you that. It's not Philadelphia love, if you want to know that, but it's not necessary. Because I think you already understand, okay? But I want you to understand that my love for God is supposed to be, I'm supposed to love you the same love, with the same love as I love God with. The same love. And you say, well, you can't do that. Well, the Bible says you can. The Bible commands you to do it, and then He encourages you to do it. All right? God's love. Let's look on. Now, what kind of love is this? What kind of love does God have? What kind of love is God's love? Well, to start with, it's costly love. It's costly love. It's not cheap love. It's not cheap love at all. Look what God did. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Jesus said, the same love I loved you with, you love one another. And it cost me my life to love you and to show you that I paid everything. The highest payment that could ever be paid, it cost me my life. I left heaven to come down to this earth and put on a robe of flesh, humiliated myself to show you my love, and you are to do the same thing one for another. That's what the Bible says, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's what Jesus said. Now I asked you this morning, is Jesus right? Now if He's right, then that's right. Now we like to skip over all this, but can I tell you, this is where the rubber meets the road. And we find out that we spend our Christian life more for us than we have God or anybody else. And our love stinks, if you want to know the truth of it. All right? A new commandment I give unto you. Now, if you go back in Leviticus, chapter 19, you'll find that it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself, and that's the old Bible, the Old Testament. All right? But Jesus said here, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment I give. He set it up here now. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. It's not just loving your neighbors yourself. Now it's loving one another like I've loved you. And since He's God, He can up the ante a little bit anytime He wants to. Everybody with me? Now, not only is it a cause of love, look here, it's an unconditional love. All right? An unconditional love. It's not based on attraction. You know that we love based on attraction. You know, Alvin Blankenship said one time that all women are pretty. He said, but some are a whole lot more pretty than others. All right? Think about that.
But we're attracted to that. We're attracted. We got to love by attraction. Okay? Everybody understand that? And love is not based on merit, it says here. When we find it easy to love someone who's doing great things for us, or doing great things all the way around, who are showing or exemplifying love, that we can love them, right? But then, it's unconditional love is not based on return. It don't matter where I can give it back or not. It don't matter I love them, whether they can love me back or whether they're worth loving or anything. Unconditional means there's no return necessary. There's no merit. There's no attraction. It's just the way they are. And Romans 5:8 shows us one of the most unconditional love verses in the Bible. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's an unconditional love. He didn't wait until we weren't sinners. Over in Revelation it says that He loved us and then He washed us. He didn't wash us, then love us, but He loved us and then washed us. That's unconditional. Think about that. And that's the way I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to love you. It don't matter whether you're appealing. It don't matter where there's an attraction, same likes, same wants, same hobbies. Let me tell you something. Everybody listen close now. You may like this or not. It really don't matter. But we have little cliques in the church. We have people who want to. Now, I'm just going to lay it out. Everybody listen to me. We have a bunch that like to camp. We got a bunch that like to fish. We got a bunch that like to hunt. We got a bunch that likes to play ball. And we'll find ourselves loving those who like the same thing. And we spend time, and what we do, we spend so much time with them that we love them more than we love the ones who don't do it. To the point that we don't even invite everybody, that we have our own little circle. And you can like it or not, but that ain't what the Bible teaches, that we're supposed to love one another the same. And I'm not saying, well, that's easy preaching. I ain't nobody in the church. I can look you in the eyeball and tell you that as well. I just want you to understand, that ain't the way we love. That's by attraction, by likes and wants. All right? Now, did I say there's something wrong with camping? No. Did I say there's something wrong with hunting and fishing? No. Did I say there's something wrong with ball? No. I'm just telling you, we've got to be careful, because we'll love others more by attraction than we do someone else. And I ain't supposed to love. I got one brother, two sisters. Would I even be a Christian if I loved one of my sisters and not the other? Would I even be a Christian if I love my sisters and not my brother? You say, yeah, but what? It don't matter what they've done. It don't matter. That's B.B., Mooney, and Cindy. All right? I'm the baby. I love them. I love them. I love mommy. All right? But can I tell you, if I don't love one of them, there's a problem with me, not them. And if you don't love somebody in the church house or love one of the brethren, whether it be in this church or another church, then there's something wrong with you, not them. Okay? Unconditional love is not based on merit. We have the same thing here. We watch people who do certain things. If we get a little bit involved or a little bit of merit maybe come our way, a little bit of work, then we can love them. Or if we love for return. If we love them and they love us back. Huh? Well, in the past, I've loved a lot of people that didn't appear they loved me back. Huh? Now, what am I supposed to do? Okay, you don't love me back. I ain't loving you no more. Huh? Well, that's really Christian, ain't it? It ain't supposed to be like that. All right, we okay? I'm talking about unconditional love. Well, where's the verse for it? There it is. While we were sinners, when we were no good, He loved us. And we're supposed to love everybody else when they ain't no good. Hang with me now. How about intentional love? All right, it's costly love. It's unconditional love, but it's intentional love. Not by emotion, but by choice. On purpose. We love somebody on a purpose. Okay? Intentionally. Everybody understand that? Think about it now. Not by emotion. But I set out, I purpose to love someone. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now listen to how it's worded. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Be ye therefore followers of God. That's all of us. Now it's written all of us, all believers, as dear children. We're all dear children, His dear children. We're all to walk in love. All of us walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. Now that was a purpose. That was intentional. He didn't wake up one day and love run across his bed. He don't sleep. He had to purposely love us. He purposely created us to love us. Think about that. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling favor. He purposely loved us and sacrificed himself for us on purpose, intentional. And intentional love. And then active love. We mentioned that just a while ago at the very beginning about love being an action, not an act or drama, but an action. And active love, it moves out to take care of one another. Loving one another, I say, well, I love this one, I love that one. I have to move out to show it. I have to move out to do it. Huh? 1 John 3:17-18, what's it say? But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? Huh? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's got to have action. Huh? It's got to have action. So that's what kind of love we're talking about. Alright, now let's look on. It's a selfless love. It's a selfless love. Death to self. It don't matter about me. It matters about you. It don't matter about my time. It matters about you. It don't matter about what I've sacrificed. It matters about you. Jesus said, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's selfless. That's selfless love. You think about what I'm saying tonight. That's the kind of love we're talking about that God has. Alright? This is a poem. Everyone's heard it, I'm sure. The poem was Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I'll do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. That's the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about loving the brethren, loving one another. Alright? Now, I know people make it hard. Alright? They're hard to get close to. I thought they're like a porcupine. But to do it, it may hurt to hug them. Alright? Think about it. But we must. And I found this picture. I thought I'd show you. I hope you can see it. Huh? Poor old dog. He's been trying to hug on a porcupine. It brought him some pain and misery. Huh? Can I tell you that some people you love will bring you pain and misery, it seems like, but it's well worth it because the Lord said to do it. Huh? We okay? I had to do that to break the ice because it was getting tougher. Huh? I could tell. I could feel the tension through the live stream. Alright? Now, 1 John 4:7-8. Let's look at it close now. Beloved, let us love. Beloved, let us love. Let's just stop right there. Beloved, let us love. You see it highlighted there on the screen. Beloved, let us love. Alright? It's the appeal to love. That's what we see here. It's an appeal to love. John the Revelator, John the Beloved, John the brother of James, John the disciple of Jesus, okay? He's trying to get us to do it without a command, even though we've already been commanded. John had a different attitude than a lot of people. Now, he started out a little rough. Him and James, called the sons of thunder. They started out a little tight, you know. They weren't going to follow Christ. He said, just burn the whole outfit. Kill them all. Just send far down and burn the whole town. All right, but he got over that. The longer he walked with Christ, he got over that. Now, let me say this. We've got young Christians in the church that ain't been a Christian but a year or two, three, maybe four. All right? We can expect them not to understand or not know how to love. But we that have been saved, and if the church was full tonight, and I would ask you to raise your hand, they would be, many hands go up that's been saved for 20 years. Now, if that's the case, how come we've not learned to love? How come we've not exercised the love? Huh? How come there's some young Christians that's learned it and we haven't? Think about that. But here's the appeal. John's asking, why don't you love? I tell you what, girl, let's just love one another. Beloved, let us love. Beloved, now that beloved means every believer is who he's talking to, okay? 1 John 4, 7 and 8 again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. For love is of God. So we've seen the appeal. Now I want you to look at this. The author of this love. That God is love. God is love. This is supernatural love. It comes from Him to us when He moves in. It's that love inside of us that come in naturally with the new birth. We don't work for this love. Christ in us, hope of glory. The love that He brings in us, it's His love. And He's the author of it. That's the love we're to use. Man, if you want to use my love only, my love is not even Christian. Think about that. My love is not even Christian. Only the love that God puts in me is godly. Only that. And that's what I must use. Now we looked at the appeal of love. Now we looked at the author of this love. I want you to look at this now. Pay close attention. 1 John 4, again we read now with verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Listen now. Listen. It's the absence of love. The appeal of love, the author of love, and then the absence of love. If you don't have this love, maybe it's because you don't know the author. Huh? You say, well, you can't judge me. Okay, let the Bible do it. John, that should be 1 John 3:14, I'm sorry. That should say 1 John, I'm sorry. That should say 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. You say, yeah, but 1 John is written about fellowship. Okay, I'll give you that. 1 John is written about fellowship. So let's see what Jesus said. John 13, 34 and 35, it should say, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So that's not talking about fellowship. That's talking about, like, just flat out, if you ain't loving one another, you probably don't know the author. That's what that's saying. Okay? Because this is how people know. It's how people know that we belong to Jesus, because we have love one for another. I've done heard it said. Brother Rick, if I would mention the man's name that I'm going to quote him, Brother Rick's been told the same thing by the same man. And I talked to this man about church. He said, no, I ain't going to come. If I'm going to fight, I'll go down to the tractor bar and fight. That's what he said. I ain't going to come to church because that's all everybody does in church is fight. So if I want to fight, I'm going to go down to the bar and fight. I'm not going to fight at the church house. Now, why would a man say that? By this, y'all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. By this shall all men know. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. I'm telling you tonight, Mount State Baptist Church and anybody else who's listening, we better look at our heart, look way down deep inside and see if we're truly loving one another the way the Bible says. If not, we ought to repent and love one another like the Lord says, so the world may take notice that Christ is in us. Because it matters. Huh? The general cause of disunity and lack of love among brethren is a breakdown somewhere in the relationship with God. If I'm not loving you and all the brethren, so there may be a church down the road that believe that it's Jesus alone, you're saved by Christ alone, by grace alone, you trust Christ and that's it. But they believe in sprinkling, if that's what people want. Huh? But they don't believe it has nothing to do with salvation, but they believe in sprinkling. Well, we're naturally not going to fellowship with them because they're not Baptists. But are they brethren? You say, well, no, they don't believe. They believe in sprinkling. That's not a prerequisite for salvation. I believe the gospel says if you believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. I thought that was the gospel. Now, I'm not saying it's okay what they believe. I'm saying it don't have the basis for my love. You understand? If they're trusting Christ, if they're trusting Christ, they're no worse or better than me. I'm no better. But now hear me now. If they don't love Christ or trust Christ, then maybe they're my enemy then. They're a foe or an adversary. Well, I'm commanded to love them too. Are you understanding me tonight? I think loving one another in the church house and then loving our enemy this morning, we might want to pay attention to what's in our heart. Huh? Loving one another. Now we're going to preach at least one more, maybe two more, on loving one another. And I want you to think about it. I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you tonight, there's something dampening the spirituality of our church. And it can't be something from without. It can only be something from within. Are you hearing me? What's going on out in the world should not affect the spirituality of this church. What affects the spirituality of this church is the spirituality in our hearts. And if our love is not right to God and to one another, and to the enemy. Huh? Are you listening to me? Then the spirituality is going to be dampened. And we're going to be weakened. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? Loving one another. Loving the brethren. Father, I come tonight. I thank you for all that you give us. Speak to our hearts. Now I pray, please, Lord, let no one forget this. Father, I pray that we're not challenged tonight, but we're changed. That we repent and love like we should. God, you've been so good to us. Help us to live like you want us to. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right. Hi, Steve. All right. Huh? Well, I don't know. It's about